The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 100 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it out. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in the Cana of Galilee, revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and remained there a few days. The Gospel of the Lord. We can recognize in this gospel three themes: the extraordinary grace of our Lord in ordinary life, the great outpouring of the love of the Lord for the people of God, and thirdly, his sanctification of marriage in God's order and creation. If we look at the ordinary and the extraordinary grace of our Lord, we see here, it just seems like an activity that's been going on for centuries as it has, a marriage, nothing extraordinary here. But what we see is the Lord has care for us in the ordinary circumstances of life. And a special care to give us abundance. This sign for us was the changing of the water into wine. But there is a surprise here even. Extraordinary grace beyond even the changing of the water into wine is the Lord not only chose any water, but it was muddy, dirty water that people would wash their feet with. A sign that he can take those things that we don't regard in this world, perhaps some of us, who regard ourselves as lowly, not worthy, and he can enter into, and does enter into, those circumstances if we allow him into our lives. The Lord has care and concern for our daily struggles, joys, and difficulties. And he not only wants to give us what is necessary for life, but an abundant life, as our Lord says elsewhere in the Gospel. And the sign of this is he not only gave what was necessary for the wedding, but he gave wine, which is not necessary for our sustenance, and the best of wine. This also represents his love for the people of God. So the people of God are those who are followers of the Lord according to the true religion. In the past, given to Israel, because they had the most revelation given at that time, and formed the nation of Israel based on the belief in the one God, who is the true God. We hear in the first reading, Isaiah, his great love for his people. He says, "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. The Lord delights in you. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you." This marital imagery shows the great love that the Lord poured out for Israel and then the church as we continue as the people of God, entering into that role through Jesus Christ. This is how much that he loves us, that he pours us out grace in abundance. But we should recognize that this grace is to sustain us and to help us live this life in the Lord and to rejoice in him in the heavenly wedding banquet for eternity. So what we see here is imagery, which all goes back to the beginning. In the beginning, God wed himself to humanity as he created us, and then he made that image in the man and the woman to become one flesh, to have the fruit of children. And therein he created marriage, and that remained an image of his outpouring love of the Father to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And then we see that the Lord poured himself out to the people of Israel to restore what was lost, in some sense, to have a people that were close to him through their struggles and their difficulties and their challenges and their questions and then running off to idols, just like us now. The Lord remained among the people of Israel, even as they ran off sometimes, as they faced famines and pandemics and wars and difficulties. The Lord inserted his grace, often in unexpected places, to the people of God. This is the way of the Lord. And forever, he would not divorce his people Israel, even as they did terrible, adulterous things, running off to other gods and other nations, as we hear in so many words of the prophets. And then this reflects on the nature of marriage as God designed it. God designed it so the two become one flesh and live a life of union and partnership for life with the to have the fruit of children. But we know after original sin, it became domination, abuse, the mentality of divorce, abuse of children, and so many other things, the fruit of original sin. However, the Lord would not leave humanity in that state. Over time, he more and more restored the image of marriage. Even by the end of the Old Testament, Israel had completely given up polygamy, for example. And we hear in the prophet Malachi that God hates divorce. This is both an image of God's love for his people Israel and a reflection on human marriage. But then Jesus, as he went to this wedding, and through his further words, further restored and raised up in the Lord. He restored marriage to how it was supposed to be in the beginning, two who become one flesh in Jesus, in him, for all of life, a sacrament, a sign of his union with the body, the church. As we know, he would not divorce his body, the church, and so those who are married are not called to divorce. Cannot do that as Christians and remain a Christian if you have a sacramental marriage. It is and remains a sin, but the Lord can restore even when people have walked away, hurt, abused. This is partially why he gives grace to marriage, to raise it up. He can even restore people who've had failed relationships through the sacrament of confession and restoration. In marriage, in the sacrament, the Lord gives graces. I've seen this in my ministry for those who've gone through struggles and difficulties, who learn finally to take hold of those graces through prayer, through sacrifice, through forgiveness, through persevering, which often means only one spouse is doing those things for a while. And then opposite, you see, spouses who've learned this through the daily struggles to take hold of the extraordinary grace in their ordinary days. And then over years, they've become a beautiful sign of a relationship. Some I've seen married 50, 60, 70 years, had their struggles and their joys, but their family recognized them as a sign of unity, of stability, of foundation, as they stayed together in those years, and often a sign of the Catholic faith. You see, more vocations, both the priesthood and religious life, come from stable families, from families that are multi-generations, practiced the Catholic faith, passed it on, and had strong marriages. This is the first place of the church, is the family. Not this physical building, not where the bishop lives, it's the family. That's how it started in the beginning, with the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden, and how it started in the early church. Even the Eucharist, the Mass, was first offered in people's homes. And then they built dedicated churches after the church became free. This remains a sign to us, the first place of faith, marriage and family, which is a sign to all of us of God's outpouring love for humanity, especially the people of God. Would then we would take hold of that extraordinary grace that the Lord offers in our ordinary life for all of us, married or unmarried, and recognize He wishes to give us the abundance of life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.